Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with A Word in Edgewise. Today is the 10th of June, the 162nd day of 2024, with 204 days ahead of us on our way to 2025. Here is the first half of a poem titled Oracle by Jacqueline Johnson, which she has dedicated to American actress Gloria Foster. Neo and Morpheus are looking for you, in between the in-between. You sit like any wise woman, sister in your kitchen. Forget the walnut wood table, platter of cookies, against a corner wall like some kind of altar where all truth is dispensed. No time to play with cowrie shells, tea leaves, coins, objects of performance. No time for ritual either. You stand cooking much of nothing, offering neither tea nor directions to the way. What light can you shine into brilliance of an overly lit sky? In our little bower at the patio corner, the beauty bush is blooming fully, and its neighbor, the silver maple, climbs ever skyward, its lower 10 feet of multi-trunks pruned vigilantly so as to allow sunlight to reach the other patio plant life, which is beginning its season this past week. Now the terracotta pots are being filled with ProMix, and the delicate seedlings are at the mercy of marauding squirrels, though somehow each year the early jalapenos and the Orient Express eggplant manage to survive. Up go the petunias into hanging containers that the squirrels practice their gymnastic routines on, launching from the limbs of the silver maple, flying several times their body lengths through the air, and then with their front paws grabbing the rims of the containers, from there to root around briefly in the potting soil before vaulting off to their next terroristic venue. This past week, various other critters were given second chances. My girlfriend Kathleen, with her English white skin, is not a fan of spiders, so whenever I see one in the bedroom, kitchen, or bathroom, I must deploy the mason jar I keep at the ready and escort a daddy long legs or whatever outdoors before Kathleen screams or initiates another arachnid fatality. And on Friday last, the townhouse complex superintendent Danny approached me with a small cardboard box while I was sorting through odds and ends of the garage. The box had holes punched in it and was taped shut, and Danny told me it contained a small bat he had an hour earlier caught in someone's townhouse nearby. Danny asked me whether I would oblige him by releasing the bat later that afternoon, and I said I would, having performed this act many times in the past. Once he'd driven off, I placed the box momentarily in the shade at the corner concrete abutment of the garage, where a slight breeze was happening, and I went on about some chores I had been doing, but not for long, because I noticed the box rocking gently, and I figured the time to release the bat was now, which is what I did in a nice, dense, dark bit of woods a block away. Heavenward tomorrow evening in the western sky, our waxing crescent moon will be hanging near the bright star Regulus, the brightest star in the constellation Leo the Lion. And tomorrow morning, in the dark hour before dawn, along with the rest of this week, at the same pre-dawn time, look just above the northeastern to eastern horizon near Capella, the brightest star in the constellation Auriga, the charioteer, for the Arietids meteor shower, with its radiant just below the constellation Aries, the ram. Today in 1692, being found guilty of, quote, certain detestable arts called witchcraft and sorceries, close quote, Bridget Bishop became the first person to be hanged during the Salem witch trials in Massachusetts Bay Colony. For an interesting connection to possible hallucinatory influence being involved, research the connection between ergot and rye bread and the general craziness occurring in Salem at the time. Today in 1752, Benjamin Franklin tested the lightning conductor with his kit-flying experiment. Today in 1935, Dr. Robert H. Smith had his last drink and, along with Bill Wilson, formed Alcoholics Anonymous. Today in 1922 in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Frances Gumm was born as the third daughter to Frank Gumm, who managed a movie theater and sang in his church choir, and to Ethel Gumm, who played the piano to accompany the silent films Frank showed. Also playing in the movie theater at the time were vaudeville acts, one of which was the Gumm Girls, performing as the Gumm Sisters with baby Frances, who, at 2.5 years old, was the darling of the small town audiences. Her sisters called Frances Little Miss Leatherlungs because her louder than anybody else's voice. Biographer Ed Morrow tells us that although the family seemed happy, Frances's father, Frank's work with his choir, generated unsavory speculation that he was homosexual. The family couldn't remain in Grand Rapids. Hoping to move the girls to Hollywood, Frances's mother, Ethel, settled for Lancaster, a small town 60 miles from Los Angeles. And with Lancaster as their base, they began touring the country, achieving a modicum of success, though the Gumm girls' parents' marriage became strained. In 1935, Frank Gumm brought daughter Frances to MGM for an audition with studio executive Billy Square Deal Grady, who thought Frances too fat, but loved her voice, subsequently signing her under her new stage name, Judy Garland. She played a hillbilly in her first film, which bombed. Her next appearance was in Broadway Melody of 1938, in which she sang the classic song, Dear Mr. Gable. Soon she was paired with Mickey Rooney in a string of successful films that became known as backyard musicals. And then 1939's The Wizard of Oz, Judy Garland cast as the young Dorothy Gale, delivering her signature song, Over the Rainbow. Unfortunately, Judy's professional success provided little personal happiness. At age 16, Judy was already at the mercy of MGM's intention to have her lose weight, purportedly accomplished by a diet of chicken soup and coffee, augmented by a pharmaceutical regimen of Benzedrine, Dexedrine, and Dexamil, and stoked by chain smoking. Bad habits leading ultimately to her early death at 47. And to one observer's comment that she shot up like a rocket and came down like a charred stick. Today is also the birthday in 1804 of German ornithologist Hermann Schlegel, in 1808 of Dutch astronomer Friedrich Kreiser, in 1819 of French realist painter Gustave Courbet, in 1832 of the German engineer who invented the internal combustion engine, Nicolas Otto, in 1889 of Japanese actor Sessue Hayakawa, in 1891 of Swiss-American lyricist Al Dubin, in 1895 of the first African-American actress to win an Oscar, Hattie McDaniel, in 1910 of American blues musician Howlin' Wolf, in 1915 of a Canadian-American writer Saul Bellow, in 1929 of the world's leading authority on ants, American sociobiologist Edward O. Wilson, in 1933 of American criminal defense attorney F. Lee Bailey, in 1941 of American singer Shirley Owens Alston and of American drummer Mickey Jones, in 1942 of American singer Janet Vogel, in 1954 of American comedian Rich Hall, in 1956 of American drummer Mickey Curry, in 1963 of American actress Jean Triplehorn, and in 1965 of English actress Elizabeth Hurley. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the 13th week of spring and to the 24th week of 2024.